Blog Talk Radio.
America. Welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Information on disability rights, disability services, and your disability dollar. Your voice and advocate. Voice your concern. Voice your opinion. But please let your voice be heard. Our mission is to bring to you the people, the places, and the things that can change your life for the better, which means inclusion into society, which means living more independently in your home and in your community. America, welcome to Sight and Vision, Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. I am your host, Pastor Reverend Radio Ray Razor, your friendly neighborhood networker. Our motto is, increase your network and you'll increase your net worth. And behind microphone numbers two is our studio manager and hostess with the mostest, Miss Renee. Welcome again to our listening audience. You're tuned in to blogtalkradio.com/Mocking and Pulpit, and this is Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. Again, I am your host, Pastor Reverend Radio Ray Razor, and even though I've been blind for more than 50 years, when I was 13 years old, a cherry bomb, which we call a big thigh crack in the DMV, exploded in my face and blinded me in both eyes. But in spite of that, every morning I rise, I feel blessed, highly favored, and I know God is good. Well, greetings, and how are you today, Miss Renee?
Well, Reverend Radio Ray, I am great. A little fall is in the air. The mornings are a little crisp in the morning, but I'm ready for fall weather. I'm ready.
Great, great. And, you know, September starts the last quarter of the year, and it's just hard to believe that this year has gone by so fast. I don't know what happened to the summer. I looked up, and the kids was getting out of school, and I look up now, and the kids going back to school. But also, we'd be remiss if we didn't send our prayers up to the persons with disability in the Houston area with the Hurricane Harvey. And now the hurricane with Irma coming, because I've been getting reports that there's a lot of persons with disability that been cut off from dialysis, you know, people in wheelchairs being able to get out. We don't think about that, but I've been getting reports from a lot of my sources, and so we want to keep them in prayer. So, Ms. Renee, what is our lineup for today?
Well, we always begin with the adventures of Mr. Ray and Mr. Ray Tico. And then, of course, you peruse the news and give us your insight on the good, the bad, and the ugly news which affects the disability and senior communities. And then our challenge each week from you is the call to action. But when you think of services for the blind, at the top of your list is the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. And at 117 years old, she has never looked better. And then the Lighthouse philosophy is to help individuals to reclaim their personal and professional independence. And our guest, Nye D'Amato, is part of expanded services at the Lighthouse in their deaf-blind program. So stay tuned to learn more about this program. So back over to you, Reverend Radio Ray.
All righty, and that sounds like a very interesting topic. Well, I'd like to start the show with the adventures of Mr. Ray and his German Shepherd, seeing that dog, Mr. Ray Tico, that 100 pounds of wonder. And it is brought to you by the Big Bad Wolf Pet Store. You can visit the Big Bad Wolf at bigbadwolf.com, and they have The nice new store up in the Silver Springs. Please go visit. Miss Penny is the proprietor. They supply Mr. Ray Tico with wonderful dog food, but they have food for cats and even those little furry animals that some of y'all have running around and sticking in your pocket and all kind of stuff. So they have wholesome food for pets, and they have toddler line. They have all type of equipment also. Please visit thebigbadwolf.com. And the wolf is W-O-O-F, and that's Wolf Wolf. And you can call them at 202-747-3434. That's 202-747-3434. And the wonderful thing about it, they also deliver. Yes, they will deliver. You don't have to worry about going out the house. You just call them folks, and they will sit you up and send your food out to you. So please call the Big Bad Wolf or visit them at thebigbadwolf.com. Now, the Adventures of Mr. Ray and Mr. Ray Tico, I'm going to do a PSA, and the PSA is this. Especially in this area, Prince George County, where we're located in Maryland, one of the big problems we had with our watershed problem is people not picking, this little off color now, people not picking up after their dogs, after their pets. And maybe people don't realize that those number twos and that waste and those droppings go into our water system, people that you all drink. So we are having a campaign. We are working with a program with the People for Change Coalition and some other nonprofit organizations to put in some programs and educate our community about please pick up after your pets and specifically your dogs, because it is polluting our drinking water and our streams and all, and it's just really becoming like the number one toxic pollution, at least in Prince George County, Maryland, D.C. area. So we want to be good stewards, and when it comes to taking care of our environment. So please address that. You can go online or just type in Google in pet waste and the watershed, and you get the information, and they have meetings throughout the Prince George County and D.C. and Maryland and Virginia, and get involved to educate the dog. And it's nice to have dog owners that love their dogs and their pets and stuff, but we also have to be committed and have the obligation to also take care of our environment. So please address that, you all. So also we want to talk about the good, the bad, and the ugly issues that affect persons with disability. And that is brought to you by Real-Time Pain Relief, the best-smelling pain relief lotion in the world. You just rub it on, and the pain is gone. And we usually do a bad, good, and the ugly, but we're just going to do a good. And the good is, and it's a flip side of this coin, is that more and more you're hearing about the self-driven car. Now, a lot of blind people, and people have visual condition, think that these cars are going to be to the point where you as a blind person can just jump in this car and tell it where to go, and it's going to take you there. Well, it's not quite there at that point yet. So they are testing the cars in various instances, like, for instance, up in Auburn, Michigan, one of the pizza chains testing the car to use it to deliver pizzas. And I thought the whole point of pizzas was you have a delivery man bring it to your house, but what these cars are doing, self-driven cars, they'll come to your home, you come outside, put in a code, and it opens up a little oven door, and you take it out, and that's how they're using it. So I know they're using their self-driven automobiles, trucks, and cars to deliver things. So it's not to the point where blind people are going to be jumping in these cars and riding around. All righty. So, but we'll keep you posted because a lot of billions of dollars is being put in this technology to develop this type of automobile. And once again, as we reported here, in the next 10 years or so, 47% of the jobs that human beings are doing now is going to be taken over by robots, technology, and so this is one of the things that's going to fall and going to eliminate human jobs. And you've been in the grocery stores and see these self-checkouts, and where you used to see 15 different checkout counters, you might see maybe two or three and another six or seven. So that's just where we're going, folks. So my call to action is this, and next month is Awareness Employment for Person with Disability, Meet the Blind Month, also White Cane Celebration. So plan to be involved in all those disability activities and try to create an activity or organize an activity for person with disability to make awareness in your community or your church. And so that call to action, our motto is, if you can't fly, run. If you can't run, walk. If you can't walk, crawl. But just keep moving forward. And as Reverend Ray Double Negative is, if you can't do nothing, just do something. So back over to microphone number two, the host with the most is Miss Renee and our special guest.
Well, thank you again, Reverend Radio Ray. Well, I'm going to repeat my introduction for a very special reason. When you think of services for the blind, at the top of your list is the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. And at 117 years old, she has never looked better. The Lighthouse philosophy is to help individuals to reclaim their personal and professional independence. And our guest, Nye D'Amato, is part of the expanded services at the Lighthouse, the Deaf Blind Program. Welcome, Nye.
Thank you so much, and I'm so glad to be on the show today.
Well, someone just tweeted me. They thought you were 117 years old. I had to tweet back, no, that's not what I meant to say. So Nye D'Amato is not 117 years old. Okay, let's get that straight. All right. I'll work on my introduction. Nye, is the population of blind deaf growing, or have they just been an underserved community?
They've been an underserved community, and I do think that more people are starting to open up about it, because especially in the deaf community that prides itself as being a visual culture, there's a lot of shame and stigma around vision loss. But over the past few years, there's been a movement in that community to be proud as deafblind people as well. So with that whole shift, more and more people have been opening up about having some degree of vision loss and coming into the deafblind community. So I would say it's an underserved population, but that more and more people are starting to open up about being deafblind.
Well, that's interesting. I hadn't thought about that. Now, are there special techniques for a person experiencing dual sensory loss?
There are. And so when we think of techniques for blind individuals, a lot of time we think about compensating for not seeing something with hearing it, right? We'll hear the taps of a cane. We'll listen to our phone or our computer speak, and so on and so forth. So with people who are both deaf and blind, or have some degree of both vision and hearing loss, there's a whole different host of techniques. So, for example, instead of hearing that cane tapping, it's more about feeling what's underneath your cane. And there's all kinds of different technologies that you can use, magnification if someone can see a little bit but is totally deaf, or if someone's completely deafblind, they can use Braille technology. Or if they're totally blind but only partially deaf, they can listen to amplified speech. So there are different techniques, and there's all kinds of techniques for cooking, cleaning, and everyday living skills. So even if you're blind and deaf, that doesn't mean you're stuck at home. You can still get out and be a part of your community.
Okay, now, is deaf blindness confined to a specific age group? I was surprised as I was preparing for this interview that there are 180,000 men and women that the Columbia Lighthouse, I don't know if they live in this area or they're served by the Columbia Lighthouse, but that's a lot of people. So is deaf blindness confined to a specific age group?
Deaf blindness can happen in any age group. It's more common in the elderly because a lot of people experience some vision or hearing loss as part of aging, but mm-hmm. it can happen in any age, and there are some conditions like Usher syndrome that are genetic and have different subtypes where you can be born deaf and then lose your vision in your 20s typically, or some people later on. Some people just have unrelated causes of deafness and blindness, but my youngest client has been 5 and my oldest one has been 98, so it really spans the whole age range.
Wow, you're absolutely right. We need to be mindful of that. Well, we want to go to break, and when we come back, I want to continue our discussion because you've certainly opened my eyes to a lot of the considerations for the blind deaf community. So we'll send it over to Reverend Radio Ray. Are you ready to do our ID, sir?
Yes, you're tuned in to blogtalkradio.com/marketingpulpit. You're listening to Sight and Vision Disability and Senior Talk Radio Show. And please visit us at sightandvisionradio.com. We have all our past programs listed there. You can just tune in and listen to them, or please call us at 301-377-6468. That's 301-377-6468. If you have any suggestion, recommendation, comments, please email us at info@sightandvisionradio.com. And back over to Ms. Renee and our interesting guest and topic.
We thank you, Reverend Radio Ray, and we are back with our guest, Nye D'Amato from the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, and we're discussing the deaf-blind program at the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. The goal of the Lighthouse is to assist a person in achieving their highest level of independence. And you talked about deaf blindness can happen at any age, from 5 to 98 or older or younger. But how does a person, and you talked a little bit about techniques at home, how does the person you serve decide what independence looks like for themselves?
Well, that's a great question because that answer depends a lot on the person's background. So we have all kinds of services, and one of our main programs for deafblind people is support service providers. So a lot of deafblind people have either grown up as a deaf person or a blind person and later lose their other sense, and so that often informs what their idea of independence is. Support service providers are people that work with you who can be your ears and your eyes, so to speak. So if you go to the grocery store and you want to get some kidney beans, your support service provider, or SSP for short, can be the person who tells you there's 3 types of kidney beans and from these companies and which one do you want. Or they can be the person helping you to read your mail or get you to a doctor's appointment or help you at the gym or whatever else you might need. So some deafblind clients, having been deaf, grew up with sign language and are often more geared towards wanting visual information because that's been their way of observing life. And so many of our SSPs are actually deaf themselves and will translate from visual information into tactile information through tactile sign language, which means that the deaf blind person puts their hand over the person signing. You might be familiar with this technique from reading about the miracle worker and how Annie Sullivan fingerspelled it in Helen Keller's hand. Tactile sign language today is not just fingerspelling, it's the full language. So that's the most common scenario is A hearing or deaf individual who uses sign language can describe the environment with focus on visual information to the deafblind person. But we also have clients who have grown up as blind individuals or who grew up hearing sighted, and they maybe use spoken English and can hear if you speak right in their ear, or maybe they use Braille, or in some cases, some people might use print on palm, which refers to block letters being written on the person's palm. And so other SSPs might provide that environmental information in that way, and someone else might be more interested in the auditory information. So it just really depends on the person's background.
So it sounds like wherever you are in your development, that the Columbia Lighthouse can do an assessment and also address getting back into to independence as you defined it. We're running out of time, but I wanted to ask you, what is ICANN Connect?
Great question. ICANN Connect is a national program. And what it is that it distributes equipment to deafblind individuals. So I've also run that program, and what I begin with is assessing the individual and what their needs are. So maybe they need a phone so they can text their friends or email their family or do their Excel spreadsheets at work or whatever they need to do. Maybe they need a laptop for that. Maybe they need Braille technology or they need a magnifier. So I sit down with the client and I discuss what they need and evaluate them and then order the equipment for them. And then when they receive their equipment, we offer training for as long as they need in order to feel comfortable for the equipment. Because a lot of this equipment is actually pretty expensive, so we want to make sure that they're getting the full benefit of it. And that really allows deafblind people to be connected to the wider community, because that is communication. And that ties closely into the other services we have, like assistive technology and independent living skills, because the ICANN Connect program requires the person to learn assistive technology skills, like being able to use a screen reader or a Braille display or being able to email and text or use video phone, where they can be connected to a sign language interpreter and have somebody else convert it into tactile sign language for them or whatever else they might need. We also are open to inviting very skilled deafblind individuals to be part of passing down these skills, because it's a different way of operating entirely.
Well, I think that you have certainly opened my eyes to the possibilities that are there. I think sometimes our program is geared to seniors and persons with disabilities, and sometimes they seniors feel like as their body changes and their needs change that there isn't anything out there. But Reverend Radio Ray is ready to ask you some questions. But just before I turn the mic over to him, would you tell us, Knight, how to get in touch with Columbia Lighthouse for the blind, whether your particular need is deaf blindness or whether it is blind and low vision? Can you tell us how the best way to get in touch to get more information?
Sure. So if you are interested in deaf blind services specifically, you can email me. My email address is N, that's N as in November, D'Amato, D-A-M as in Mike, A-T-O, at clb.org. And you can call me either through voice at 240-244-1590, or if you prefer text because that's more direct communication, I also can be reached at 202-670-4093. To find out more about our services, you can come to our website, which is www.clb.org, and we've actually just relocated across the street from where we used to be. So our new address now is 8757 Georgia Avenue in Suite 804 in downtown Silver Spring, Maryland.
So there are many, many ways to get in touch with the Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. I'm going to turn it over to Reverend Radio Ray. I can hear him writing out his questions as we speak. Reverend Radio Ray, are you there?
Yes, I am, and thank you very much. And thank you for being our guest today. Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind, we definitely salute them for all that they do in the D.C. metropolitan area. And one of the questions that a lot, and now I am blind, visually impaired blind. I went to Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind when I lost my sight when I was 13. Now, what is the process? A lot of people want to know, well, how can they afford this service? I mean, do you just call up and come there? Do you have to pay? Or is there a program or a process you need to go through? Can you share that with us?
Sure, and that's a great question. So fortunately, we have a number of grants that cover the cost of services. So when you come in the door, the first thing we do is find out what you need, which services you would most benefit from, and then we try to match those with the grants that we have available so that you can receive those services at no cost to you. If you have a case open with RSA or DOORS, then you can also receive services through them, through authorizations. And so those are just two of the ways that you can receive services. You're always welcome to come in and drop by and visit, or we can also come out to you if there are circumstances where you can't travel on your own yet. And so another way you can reach us is to contact Jocelyn Hunter, and her phone number is 202-454-6422. So between her and me, we can definitely connect anyone who's interested with the services they need.
Okay, now this area with which we live in is a government culture. So we use all these ABCs and stuff. Now you said two things: DOORS and RSA. Explain what those initials stand for.
Sure. DOORS is the Department of Rehabilitation Services of Maryland. So that's the Maryland government services for anyone who's blind or visually impaired. And RSA is the Rehabilitation Services Administration. And they are the D.C.-based services for D.C. residents who are blind or visually impaired. So if you already have a case open with your counselor, then you can ask the counselor to create an authorization for services. Or if you don't have a case open with them, then that's when we can look at some of our grants and see what services that you can benefit from and have covered through the grants.
All right. Now, there's two categories of persons with that's disabled, and usually they either want a job or they just want independence. So is those two categories separated, and can they be served?
They can both be served through grants. They only need to prove some sort of benefit from the service, whereas through the DOORS and RSA, there needs to be a goal towards employment. But often those two are so tied together. For example, learning to use a computer, assistive technology, or learning to use orientation and mobility skills, both make you more employable, and they also enrich your personal life because then you're able to get to where you need to go and you're able to stay in touch with people. And so there are services for people with either goal, but the two are also related.
All right. Well, we have about a minute to go, and I just want to ask you one more question, which people are always concerned about. Technology is very expensive. Are there programs, because the average person, you know, even though this technology can give their life, can help them more in terms of quality of life, so are they programmed for purchasing technology?
So the I Can Connect program that I mentioned earlier will purchase technology for deafblind individuals, and then individuals who are blind may need to go through their vocational rehab counselor and have an employment goal, and ask them to cover the cost of equipment, because it is true that it is very expensive. I am also finding these days that it's a bit easier to find second-hand devices for a launch.
Okay.
So that's another way.
All right, well, there the go. So we want to thank you very, very much. We're going to post all the information and all on our website. Thank you very much. Have a wonderful day, and thank you. And we look forward to talking to you again more about the program for Columbia Lighthouse for the Blind. All right, thank you.
Thank you so much. Y'all, have a great day, and thank you for having me.
You're welcome. And as we close, our time is up. We thank you for your time. Until the next time, this is Pastor Reverend Ray, and I want to say, first of all, happy birthday to Miss Renee and Mr. Ray with the Step Pride, September the 8th. And I like to say, I might not have sight, but I can have vision. God bless and be blessed.